For this part is taken from Luke chapter 13, and beginning to read at verse 31 through to 35. So it's Luke chapter 13 and beginning to read at verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of that word. As a teenager, believe it or not, I did actually have posters in my bedroom. I know you probably think I didn't, knowing what I'm like, but I did. They weren't of Duran Duran or anything like that. It was "The Highlands Are Always in My Heart" was one, and the other one was "Life is a Journey and Not a Destination." So you probably are right in how you think about me, but there we go. But this "Life is a Journey, Not a Destination," I used to look at that and used to think, yeah, you know, I'm not going to one place. Life's ahead of me and everything. With the wisdom of years, I realise that that's not the whole truth. There is an aspect that we do journey through life, that we're not just setting goals and getting there and then setting another goal. Although, in retrospect, I wish I had done that. But that's another story altogether for a different day. But as Christians, we do have a destination in view. We're only passing through this world to something much better. And we should have that goal in view, that one day we will go to be with the Lord and our life will be with him. Jesus, in this passage here, is setting his face towards Jerusalem. He's not going to be deflected from it. And here in Luke's gospel, we find that the Pharisees were seen as on his side. Matthew and John, they often portray them as baddies. But here they were supporting him. "Leave this place, go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." But Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to be deflected. Tell him that I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal." Jesus had a plan and he knew where he was going. I wonder how true that is of us. What keeps us going in the hard times? This morning we've heard many different situations of people that are suffering hard times. What is it that keeps them going? What is it that keeps us going? Jesus said, "Surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." And again here we see Luke showing Jesus in that role as prophet. And it was a prophetic utterance that prophets would not die outside of Jerusalem, but inside the city. So as well as his goal, he had his day-to-day work as well. It was the long-term and the short-term, if you like it. And so too that is true of the church. There are annual activities. There are weekly activities that we have. But our goal, that moving forward, is heralding in the kingdom of God. And that isn't only in the church building. What it is in the church, which is the body of people. So it's where God's people are that we are heralding in the kingdom of God. The other week we had a picture of the Civic Centre. And somebody said to me afterwards, "Is God really there?" Well, yes, he is. Because people here are there. And so where we are, God is, and therefore he is there. And now we've heard of other places in Oldham where God is at work. and where we have the opportunities of working with these agencies, where we ourselves have opportunity of heralding in the kingdom of God where we are. We have that goal, but we are also moving forward within it. But an interesting word that Jesus uses about Herod there, go tell that fox. And then Jesus goes on to talk about himself as a mother hen, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And here we kind of see that feminine side of Jesus, if you like. We know him as the good shepherd, but here there's more of an aspect of that care and that nurture. And, you know, in Jemima Puddle Duck's opening sentence in Beatrix Potter's Tale of Jemima Puddle Duck, the opening sentence is, what a funny sight it is to see a brood of ducklings with a hen. Well, that's what a mother hen does. She gathers her own chicks, but she gathers everybody else's as well. And you know, there's a few mother hens around, isn't there? Mother hens are notorious for adopting other offspring and even other breeds. Now, there's a challenging thought for us. Jesus, in this picture of a mother hen, longing to gather his people under him, but they have rejected him and chosen a different way. And so Jesus was suffering their rejection. Their wrong choices would have brought about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus here anticipates the trial before Pilate, which would actually come when the people of Jerusalem would reject Jesus and choose Barnabas and the way of war. And so Jesus was lamenting over Jerusalem because he knew what was to come. How does Jesus lament over our nation today? Because he knows what is to come. And we've heard only snippets this morning of the things that are happening within our nation because we have turned against God and against his ways. You know, we often think of Jesus as being meek and mild, and so therefore we think that Christians should be the same. And yet, at the Lent study on Tuesday evening across at Hope Methodist, we were thinking about Palm Sunday. We were thinking about how Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and it was anything but meek and mild. It was set up as direct opposition to what was going on. It was very nationalistic. We don't tend to always fully realise that. He clearly opposed both political and religious teachers of his day. Some of what's been said this morning is saying that that is what, as Christians, we need to be doing. But are we willing to stand up and be counted? Are we willing to write to our MPs? Are we willing to get involved in the things that are going on around us? Are we willing to stand up for those who are put down, for the poor, for the lonely, for those who have no family? It's good, isn't it, when we gather together in church and we have a nice time together and we say, oh yes, we must do these things. And then we get outside and we get into the busyness of life and everything else that goes on, and a lot of that gets taken away. Yet Jesus promises that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And what he wants, it should be in us, by the power of his Spirit. At a time when riding roughshod over opposition is considered to be a strength, we find compassion and humanity at variance with effective government and reasonable budgeting. What's our response to the things that are happening within our nation today? Rowan Williams, in his book The Lion's World, which is about C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia, states, Aslan may be the rightful king of Narnia, but he makes his first appearance as a rebel against the established order. C.S. Lewis is introducing us to a god who, so far from being the guarantor of the order that we see around us, is its deadly enemy. There's a lot for us to think there about our attitudes and what we accept and what we stand against and what we say, no, this is not acceptable. But you see, Jesus had come to the people and he longed to gather them to himself. but they turned and done their own thing. And we hear of situations, and we hear of people who are in need, and we see that people have chosen to do their own thing. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have compassion. That doesn't mean to say that we don't help and we have concern for them. We do. But ultimately, what we need to share is the gospel as well. It's turning back to God. And we can wail and bemoan situations, but people need to understand what God's word is. And very often, people choose to take the things from God that they like. Well, God loves us and God wants us to be reconciled and God wants us to live together and God wants us to be happy and God wants us to have enough money and Lord, please grant all these things. But we don't want the responsibility that goes alongside that of being obedient to his word, of not living in sin, of, you know, all the other things that go alongside it. So it's not sufficient to say, Lord, please do this, if we're not prepared to put into action in our own lives. And we can only do it for ourselves if we're not prepared to put in action in our own lives and be the people that God has called us to be. And then as we do that, God will strengthen us and empower us and equip us to be able to share that good news in the way that we address people, in the way that we respond to people, in the way that we speak with people, that they might know that they are loved and cared for. Out in the community, where we are, that is how God speaks to people. That's a tremendous responsibility that we have. We should be in the world, but not of it. How are we going to respond this morning to what we've heard? Are we going to go away and say, oh, it's really good this morning. Really enjoyed listening to David. Fascinating what's going on. And then by Wednesday, I've forgotten all about it. Or are we going to commit to do something, one thing, at least, in response to what we've heard? How can we make a difference? How can I make a difference? Jesus longs to gather us to himself, not just us, but all of his people. Jesus is prepared to go the journey with all that he knew that it meant at the end of it, to go to the cross. Are we prepared to do the journey? Are we prepared to lay down ourselves and take up the cross? Or do we want a bit of both? A foot in both camps. We want the things of the world, but we also want to say that we're a Christian. How are we going to respond today? Are we willing to take our shelter and our strength from Jesus, who offers it to us, so that we might be equipped to live in the world that he's called us to, and in turn reach out to others? Or are we going to live for ourselves and go our own way? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we bless you for all that we've heard. And there's been many different things. And Lord, we ask for clarity of thought and understanding. We pray for your spirit to be at work in us individually, to touch us, to touch us where you want to speak into our heart, Lord. We ask that which you have for us. And Father, we confess that we are not the people that we should be, that the words that we say in our actions are so often less than what they should be. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness. And we pray again that you would strengthen us in this time and that you would equip us for all that you are calling us to do. Help us, Lord, to seek to be your people, to seek to love you and to serve you with our whole heart. and to listen to your voice and to be led by your word. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.